Ralph Barbosa, and I'm the program administrator for the Probation Medical Services. And I actually just recently, on the way out here, added a title as a health care for the homeless program administrator as well. So I'll be administering both programs when I return to work. I'll join. I work for the County of Santa Barbara Public Health Department, and our structure is a little different than what Sharon has presented, but I think equally great model. So our objectives will be to describe elements of our transition from the public health department-based program to a contracted medical services provider. I'd like to provide some tools for program quality improvement and contract performance performance measures, and demonstrate that contracted medical service delivery is possible with strong contractual oversight. A little bit of background: when we started with CLASP, which was in about October of 2002, I was not with the public health department at the time, but public health provided all medical services in the juvenile institutions. At the time, the staffing with the public health department was of a part-time physician, a primary care physician, three RNs, and there was one per facility, and a health services administrator, and our county mental health provided the services inside the facility as well. The public health lab processed all of our specimens as they do today. Our probation department, we have two booking facilities, and that is where the class urine is collected, at the Santa Barbara Juvenile Hall and the Santa Maria Juvenile Hall, and we also do operate a camp, Midtown. Our program in the beginning, the screening, specimen collection, and patient education was conducted by the three RNs in the facility, so you can imagine amongst all of their other duties, this process was obviously impacted by their time. The specimens were processed by our public health lab, and the probation, since inception with CLASP, probation has always uploaded our booking data to the public health department, where we hold the database for all the CLASP program reporting. The lab provides all of the results for the specimens that are drawn to the CLASP coordinator at public health, and then the lab results are populated into the database on a monthly basis. So when the minor comes into the facility, unlike the San Bernardino model, our intake screening is conducted by probation staff, custody. Their intake screening, they have training approximately 2 days for doing that screening and then identifying minors who need immediate attention by medical. And depending on the hour of the day, we do not have 24-hour medical service. Depending on the hour of the day, that minor may be sent out of the facility prior to being booked into the facility to have medical clearance. When medical is on duty, they're actually flagged immediately to be seen by the medical provider before coming into the facility. The lab then takes the data from the requisitions and then processes it through to public health, and then again, the information is populated into our database for CLASP reporting. This is a screen capture of our database. It's a real simple database. When the information comes in from the lab, we go in and manually put in all of the data into our database. It's a simple search lookup. When we receive the public health the probation's information, we actually see that pre-populated with all of the information on the minor that's required to report for CLASP report. And then our report writer will actually provide us really good results to provide for the CLASP program. We do, as you can see, screen both males and females. We screen approximately 20% as our focus for the males, and we use a screening tool as the males come into the facility looking to determine which of the males are going to be screened. Sorry, yes, females. All females are screened. These are just our beginning results. Six 4% in the year when we started, and this only reflects October through December in the year 2002. The progression here in 2003 is when we began our discussion for outsourcing the medical services. 2004 is when the medical services were actually started to outsource. And as you can see, we were able to obviously maintain the service, even though we had the bookings increase. However, the total screen did also increase as well. And then in 2005, the medical services were still contracted out. What caused the conversation, I guess, in our transition to contracting out the medical services, from the public health perspective, there was a resource management concern at the time. Public health felt that the clinicians' time, both medical, from both the MDs and the RNs, would best be used to increase the services at our community centers, the clinics that are offered throughout the county. Also, the multi-managing the two facilities, we had a manager who was overseeing one of the largest community clinics in Santa Barbara. It was a multifaceted, multi-specialty clinic, primary care, family health, and there was a resident internal medicine clinic. And in addition to that, the same manager was also managing the medical services at all three of our juvenile facility sites. And so it was becoming quite a nightmare to manage all of those locations. And then finally, it was really not the core business of the public health department and our primary care and family health division. And so as part of the strategic initiative to change, they were looking at the possibility of outsourcing that medical. Probation, on the other hand, they had actually similar issues when we brought this to their attention. Of course, it's not their core business. They're in the business of detaining and the sheriff here with guns. They had very valid concerns. We don't know how to manage medical people. We don't know anything about medical. And then the other thing they were concerned about is their ability to coordinate services into the public health system. And at the very least, the blessing here was that they were concerned and aware about the importance of that or need. So when, in fact, we finally got to the idea that we would propose the outsourcing of the medical services, public health actually held the responsibility for initiating most of the process, crafting the request for proposal, putting together the project team, which consisted of probation administration, public health administration, and county council. And then they were also responsible for creating our MOU between the public health department and probation, which this is the key and pivotal point in our structure. There was, as you can imagine, a huge dilemma with this. It was a relationship anxiety of separation, separation anxiety, because custody was not at all for this idea. They were completely against the idea of putting the responsibility of providing medical care to the minors when, in fact, probation holds that responsibility. They are the custodian of the minor. And so there was concerns that, you know, you're our brother and sister public health department, you're going to be, there's an idea that public health has a higher sense of responsibility. And so I think they felt comfort, not only in our years of relationship, but in the idea that, well, you're the county too, so you're going to have the same responsibility. And if I go and just throw my money out to some unknown entity, are they going to have that same sense of responsibility? So good, valid concerns. And what happened was eventually the county CEO got involved. We came up with a neutral solution, and that was to provide contract oversight from public health department, which oversees this operation that's outsourced through probation department. And then, of course, public health also has responsibility for a nutrition component, facility inspection, and small utilization review component. The end result is our current structure. Our current structure, of course, is that we have contract with the County of Santa Barbara with prison health services. We have the Public Health Department providing contact oversight. Probation Department, of course, is responsible for the contract itself and medical delivery. And then Prison Health Service actually provides staffing inside all of our juvenile detention facilities. That was the first step in the process, and when we initially contracted with Prison Health Services, the Sheriff Department had already been with Prison Health Services for approximately 4 to 6 years, I'm not exactly sure. And so our initial contract negotiation with Prison Health Services was going to be set up so that as the Sheriff's Department's contract expired, probation's would expire at the same time, and we would create one big contract with Prison Health Services to provide medical services in all of our facilities in the county. Or I shouldn't say Prison Health Services, but of course the winning bid, if you will. So when we combined the contractual services, we put a project team together again. This time, of course, consisted of the bigger guns, Sheriff. We had then the Probation Department and Public Health Administration, County Council again, and then this time I was involved as the contract monitor with the negotiations, which is very important because, of course, when you're monitoring the contracted medical services, it's important to know what those discussions are so that you can actually hold the service provider accountable for what is exchanged at the table. We created a combined request for proposal for the Sheriff and Probation Departments, and that was also led by Public Health Department, so there's still this strong collaboration between all three departments, and then began our negotiations and created our combined contract. With regard to the CLASP project, our relationship is as it is at the county. We, being Public Health Department, hold the CLASP grant funds and dish those out accordingly with our partners. The Probation Department, of course, we do education and training of custody staff, and in public health, we process the lab specimen. We process the specimen in the lab, disease control obviously is involved when there's a positive result. And finally, Prison Health Services is mandated by contract to fulfill the covenants of the grant. They do not receive direct funding. With regards to the grant, we were able to negotiate that into our contract to hold them responsible for performance measures and outcomes, and I'll show you those as well. So our current program elements are a little different in that our screening and specimen collection is conducted by either the contracted MAs or nurses, so there's more staff to collect more urine, and the patient education is now conducted by the nurse and or the pediatrician. And this is a really big step because previously the physician was quite removed because they didn't have the type of time that we are afforded through contracting those medical services for some of the patient education. The specimens are still processed by Public Health Lab today. The information is still uploaded from probation to the Public Health Department, and our lab still provides all of the results to the coordinator for data entry into our system. And then the results are populated into the system monthly. And the changes since the beginning of the program are that we have contractual quality measures imposed upon Prison Health Services to help ensure that our contractor performs up to our up to our program requirements. The current staffing is, as you can see, much greater than it was when public health was actually serving in the facility. We have a health services administrator, and she oversees both the sheriff, county jail, and all of our three juvenile sites. And we have an administrative assistant assigned to the juvenile sites. We have a medical director, and she serves primarily at our northern booking facility and our camp. And then we have a part-time pediatrician serving in our Santa Barbara booking facility. We have two RNs full-time at each of the Santa Barbara and camp facilities. And then the supervising nurse serves as the 50-50, 50% supervising, 50% on the floor at Santa Maria. We have an LVN who backfills support in Santa Maria with that supervising nurse, and then we have two MAs, one at each of the booking facilities. So as you can see, our staffing ratio has definitely increased, and our ability to deliver services is improved. And then the other thing is that the backup staffing, which is something that, as I'm sure those of you who have a public health system now, our backup staffing is provided by our prison health services from our nurses and doctors, our nurses and MAs and LVNs who also work in the county jail. So it gave us a greater pool of access to providers rather than having to use registry whenever needed. And then county mental health services and public health lab services are still used in our facilities. Let's see, some of our results. This is the contract language that was negotiated when we combined the contracts between the sheriff's facilities and the juvenile detention facilities. This only applies to the juvenile sites, of course. And it requires that the contractor shall work in conjunction with public health to comply with requirements of the California Center for Disease Control Chlamydia grant that was awarded to the Public Health Department for the Probation Department. Contractors shall collect specimens and provide treatment and follow-up care to detainees. PhD representatives shall work with contractors to ensure that contractor staff is proficient and understands grant requirements and standards. The PhD designee shall maintain the grant and reduce statistics at the probation department's quarterly meetings. This was a fairly large issue at the negotiating table. I think at the time, some of the representatives from Prison Health Services were aware of the requirements of the grant and may have been concerned about their service delivery. In addition, one of the measures that we have, quality indicators, is that 100% of the eligible detainees held more than 72 hours shall be screened for chlamydia, but in no event later than 96 hours after booking. And the reason why the contract language is written that way is that in our facilities, we do not have 24-hour medical. So one of the concerns that the contractor had was, this is an unreasonable expectation. You can't expect us to collect these urines when we're not in the facility in a valid point. So what we did is we calculated exact hours that they were going to be gone. And is it possible between the 72 and 96 hour window? The great news, and you'll see in some of the stats, is that the majority of our specimens are collected within 0 to 24 hours. And then each August, the agreement is reviewed, and for every one of the quality indicators that the provider does not meet, they are charged $5,000. So it's a significant impact when they don't make it at the end of the year. And last year, unfortunately, they were not able to meet five of the quality indicators, which is obviously not a benefit. It's not a coup with the $5,000, but you can bet this year they're going to meet that incentive because the $20,000 or $25,000 that they were assessed. They made a lot of changes in the urine specimens. Great first year motivator, if you will. This first screen, this is one of the tools that we use to track where and when the contractor is meeting this contractual obligation. So what we do is if we are able to each month determine which of the minors have not been screened, and then what we do is we provide that information over to the medical facility. The medical facility then does their research and returns information for us. And so just as Sharon shared with you, there are circumstances where we will not be able to collect the urine, even in this captive audience, booking and released within 4 hours. We're not going to capture that. There are tons of issues. We might fail to void and just a host of issues that we get back on our response sheet. The second issue that we use, and here's some of the outcomes, I guess, from this first contractual measure. Covered these top ones here, failure to void, refused testing, custody lockdown also. That's another reason why we are not able to collect urine if the facility facilities on lockdown and we're not able to move minors, then we can't take them. Each specimen collected after 96 hours requirement is reviewed for QA and corrective action plans, and then the supervising nurses uses these examples at their monthly nurse meeting for quality improvement each month, so it's actually a great model for them. The second set of criteria is that if we have a booking in our public health database, which is populated from probation, and there's not a specimen collected, it may not fall under the 96-hour requirement or the contractual reference above. And so what we do is we use it for quality improvement, and we try to figure out what are the reasons that are hindering our staff from being able to collect that urine. So all of these issues are tracked, and it gives us a great learning opportunity to improve each month what the nurses are actually collecting. And some of the outcomes from this section are that the minor may have not met the testing criteria. Again, this mostly pertains to the males. If they don't meet the screening sheet, then they're not tested, and then the nurse just responds that they did not meet the criteria. The specimen was collected, but it was not on the lab report, and then what happens is that becomes QI for the lab. So it's a great roundabout system. Medical was unaware of the booking. This is one of the key areas where Sharon's model is absolutely beautiful, and give her lots of praise for this. We do not have direct access to custody's booking system. So this is one of the areas where we can definitely focus on improvement over the next years in our contracting services. Custody is in the process of changing their booking system, and so we're hoping that will become a component of that booking system moving forward. But what happens today is the nurses and medical receive an in and out roster, and they receive it frequently throughout the day, and that's how they determine who's in the facility. Well, as you can imagine, minors sometimes don't show up on those in and out reports due to timing or a system malfunction that they don't know that they're in the system. They find out a few days later that they're in the system because they see them on the in and out roster, and it pops up, and suddenly it's past that 96-hour window. Medical failed to collect the specimen, and some of the QA items in this category end up falling under Category 1 as a contract violation, so then we move them up, and then they are assessed the fee at the end of the year if, in fact, they become a contract violation. The last category that we have is if a specimen is collected, if we receive a lab result, but we're unable to find a booking for the minor in our database. And we provide that information again on our sheet to the nursing staff. The nursing staff then responds. And some of the identified outcomes and issues from that category are that the lab data was incorrect. In other words, maybe a wrong specimen date, something along those lines. Booking was not uploaded from probation. That's luckily very infrequent because we don't like to find data errors. Not class related. In other words, the minor had requested STD testing, and since then we've changed our lab slip to distinguish between class-related urine and just regular STD requested by minor, STD testing requested by the minor. Or if the booking was not uploaded, urine was collected as required for the contract, but insufficient for the lab, it was just an invalid specimen. And then medical error, chart is noted for urine, but for whatever reason was not collected. I think we run into those cases where the nurses are just so busy doing their every day, they mark it and then go collect, so we've changed that and said, you don't mark until you collect urine. So. Lab quality assurance was the last piece that we just started, probably it's been about a year now, and it's been actually very successful in closing the loop with this big team. Public Health Lab does provide the services, and they are a partner in the class project. And so they do have requirements to maintain. And so what we do is provide the lab similar as we do for our medical facility, and we provide them issues that range everywhere from simple misspellings and errors up to that, we find that our collection date happens to be prior to the date that the minor is booked. So that could either be lab data entry error, or that could related and that the nurse's writing was not clear. One of the great things about this tool and this partner is that we're able to identify issues medical facility and use this to help motivate the probation department to initiate some changes. One of the things we're looking at doing is having probation create a patient label as they're booked into the facility, because that helps to reduce the errors. And then some of the identified outcomes from the lab QA is that we have better or more accurate disease control and class database reporting. Again, helping with initiatives for using a patient label. It identifies QI for the medical staff, clearer writing. We purchased a time and date stamp to help reduce date errors. And then we were able to work with the lab to allow us to create a master lab slip to reduce the amount of writing that the nurse has to put on the actual form, because as you know, that's what they do almost all day long, and their hands just get tired. And so it's really reduced the amount of writing. Now they just have to write the name and circle male or female. That's it. Before, there were about 12 different areas that they had to complete. So this has been huge, and the nurses really work really hard at this, because they know that we're fighting for them in all areas to make the job more streamlined. So some of our actual numbers. We've done a very good job since the program inception and continue to make improvements over the years. As you can see, 2003 and 2004, public health was still the medical service provider. And then in 2004 is when we began our initial transition to contracting medical services. And then the program changes when I came along in 2005. I was able, as the coordinator, unlike the previous manager who was managing the three facilities plus the clinic, the community clinic, I was able to focus a lot more time on the project and be, as an integral partner in that trio of people, I was able to spend more time with all the partners in education and discussion. And so the increase in the proportion screened is really directly related to that, and the prison health services becoming very aware, of course, by penalty, of the importance of maintaining grant. And then this just gives you some more information on the total numbers that were booked and the total screen. And I think for the beginning of the year, we're about the same percent, 78%. Our positivity runs approximately 7% for the females, and it's a little bit lower for the males, about 2%. Keep in mind, of course, we're screening about 20% of the males. Some of the other contracting tools that we use to maintain this relationship for the external provider, of course, a little unrelated to class, but we have an annual probation medical services scorecard that covers everything from immunizations to nutrition services, chlamydia grant. It covers a large focus to help the department understand what their initiatives and focus will be for the next year. We, at contracting those medical services, keeping track of the hours that they're actually delivering in the facilities is hugely important, because ultimately, at the end of the day, it's really an agreement for labor hours, because it's really hard to track that if you don't have a system in place. So we were very lucky to develop a reconciliation, not only by 200 hours is required for medical services, but we break it down by shift, day, and the actual hours worked in the facility. And that's very important. A lot of the service providers will be very careful to include a nurse working, say, overtime at facility A for 4 hours consistently, and you don't know why, but then for some reason this facility didn't have a nurse for 2 days, and that covers those hours. So if you don't do it by site and location, oftentimes you'll find medical services begin to dwindle at one or more of your sites. So that has been hugely successful for our county, and it's really held our service provider to the contract. Excellent medical delivery. I have to mention that, because they've done an excellent job with our juveniles. And then, of course, contractual performance measures tied to care delivery, timeliness of evaluations, appropriateness for referrals to public health and follow-up, and external visits. These are all quality measures that we have built into our contract. So our conclusions here is that quality control control management and oversight is key to contracting out these medical services. Contracting medical services has provided for an increase in the proportion screened based on increased staffing and contract monitoring, and our contractual performance measures that have financial incentives ensure contractor performance. Notice I said financial incentives, not penalties. And then some of our next steps that we want to focus on is to do an in-depth review of the current lab costs and potential of our contracting out our lab services. An in-depth review of the lab results delivery and the impact on treatment. Obviously, the sooner we capture the urine, the sooner we receive the results, the sooner we have the opportunity for education, follow-up, and of course, partner treatment. And auto-populating the class database would be a wonderful thing. If we can get that done in the next couple of years, it would be wonderful. And then increase our education frequency for our staff, because that has actually been key in having all these partners. Custody, who of course doesn't have any really medical training or background other than some basic first aid. And then of course the understanding